soul? Come on, Milhouse. There is no such thing as a soul. It's just something they made up to scare kids, like the Boogeyman or Michael Jackson.
But every religion says there's a soul, Bart. Why would they lie?
Well, if your soul is real, where is it?
It's kind of in here. And when you sneeze, that's your soul trying to escape. Saying God bless you crams it back in. And when you die, it squirms out and flies away.
How can someone with glasses that thick be so stupid? Listen, you don't have a soul. I don't have a soul. There's no such thing as a soul.
Bart Simpson may have his doubts about the soul, but Keith Ward doesn't. He's a prominent theologian and philosopher at Oxford University and the University of London. His many books include In Defense of the Soul. Steve Paulson talked with Keith Ward.
We now live in an age of science where many old religious concepts seem hopelessly outdated. Does the idea of the soul still matter in today's world?
Well, I think it matters. Not many people use the word anymore, certainly not in science. But then the word for soul in the New Testament is psyche, which is a Greek word, which means mind. So really what we talk about as the mind is what medieval people used to talk about as the soul. So the mind-body problem is still very much alive. It's a hot topic of debate. So if you say soul equals mind, really, that gives you the best idea of it.
Now, in your book, In Defense of the Soul, you wrote, what is at stake is our whole view of what it means to be human, whether we can really continue to believe in human dignity and value, whether all traditional moral values must not collapse in the cold, clear light of scientific truth. This is quite a burden to place on this old idea of the soul, isn't it?
It is quite a purple passage, too, looking back at it. What I had in mind there is that quite an influential body of people now are saying that human beings are just material. They're just results of, you know, atoms bouncing around in the brain. And so there's no objective value. There's no purpose. It's just an accident. It's a result of millions of evolutionary accidents. And there's no point to it at all. Now, okay, if science has to say that, you know, if that was a definite conclusion of science, you'd have to put up with it and live with it somehow. But it's not, as a matter of fact. There's a lot more to the question than that. And the question is really, is there more to the mind than just what's in the brain? You know, Francis Crick, one of the people who discovered the structure of DNA and got the Nobel Prize, he wrote a book called The Incredible Hypothesis, in which he said, you and your feelings and your thoughts and your emotions and your values, you are nothing but the movement of neurons in your brain.
And you obviously disagree with Francis Crick. On what basis?
Well, I think most people have disagreed with them throughout history, really. And if you look at all the great philosophers who've written in all the traditions, East and West, they've mostly said that mind, consciousness, awareness, thought and experience is the basic bedrock of reality. And what people like Crick have said is, no, you start with lumps of matter and you see what they do. But it's very difficult. It's a very minority view. And the reason for not holding it is that, well, when we think, when we feel, when we perceive, when we know our own experience, we know something that doesn't seem to be explainable in terms of physics or chemistry. It's something quite different. It's personal experience, and that personal experience that nobody else has access to. It's not in space. You know, you can't see my thoughts in space, but I know that they exist. Those things just don't seem to be material.
From a religious perspective, is the soul important mainly to account for life after death?
No, it's not, because, you know, the Old Testament didn't really believe in life after death until very late in the Old Testament. There was a gloomy sort of place called Sheol. The Romans called it Hades, but it wasn't a happy place and it was nothing to look forward to. So life after death was never a major factor in thinking about the soul. The major factor was, I think, this: have humans got a special moral responsibility for what they do in life? Can you hold them accountable? Are they responsible? Are their lives unique? Do you value them for that? Not for what they're going to be after death, but for what they are now. And that's what the Bible is concerned with.
Now, it seems that we should bring in the question of evolution here, and particularly the evolution of the brain, because it would seem to be highly relevant to this discussion. And I want to refer back to that famous announcement by Pope John Paul II in 1996, when he said, finally, that evolution is compatible with Christian faith. He said, evolution explains the development of life on Earth with one major exception, the human soul, which he said was created by God. Does that explanation make sense to you?
No, I think most Catholic theologians would doubt whether that made very much sense. I should make it quite clear that was not an infallible statement of any sort. That was his opinion. And, you know, theologians usually differ with the Pope on lots of things when he's just writing stuff. And I don't think he should have made an exception for the soul. There are lots of crucial stages of evolution. The beginning of life is one. The formation of the brain is another. The onset of consciousness is another. And then a later one than that is intelligence and a sense of continuing self-identity, which you might now call the soul, I suppose.
Okay, well, let's just play this out for a moment. If the mind is essentially the same as the soul in your definition, and the brain evolved historically at a particular point, what does that say about the state of the mind before evolution reached this more recent stage? I mean, 100 million years ago, can we talk about the mind? Can we talk about consciousness back then?
Well, we don't know, to be honest, because we don't even know today whether ants, for example, are conscious. I mean, are beetles conscious? Are frogs conscious? We don't know. I think it's possible. And if you want the crunch question, who gets life after death, right? I think it would only make sense for something to have life after death if it had a sense of personal continuance. I mean, if it knew it was the same thing that used to be a frog, right? If you had a frog which said, oh yeah, I'm the same frog that used to live in that pond, then I think that frog would be entitled to eternal life. Okay, so I'm all in favor of heaven for animals. Let's get them in there. But only animals which know that they are the animals they used to be. Probably that's the higher primates. And in England, it would include dogs.
I think in the United States, it would include dogs as well.
Okay, good.
What about computers, though?
Yeah, possibly computers. I mean, not the one I have, but some computers.
No, I mean, I think everyone agrees that computers can't think right now. I mean, they can compute extremely well. They can calculate, but they can't think like human beings. But
yep.
The jury is out whether they will at some point in the future, which I guess raises the specter of whether computers in the future might have souls.
Yeah. My answer to that would be a very definite yes. I mean, I'm not saying they will. I mean, I'm just saying it's possible. And if you constructed something which had a sense of moral responsibility and of guilt and all that, you'd have to give it the rights. You couldn't say human rights. You'd have to talk about personal rights. And then you'd have to say, yes, you could have an artificial person. You probably wouldn't even call it a computer then. And the test, the crucial test would be, do you believe they have a sense of moral freedom and responsibility? Because that's the crucial test of a human being. And that's when we might say, if you want to use that language, these beings now have a soul.
That's Keith Ward, a theologian and philosopher at Oxford University and the University of London. His books include In Defense of the Soul and The Big Questions in Science and Religion.
You know, Bart, some philosophers believe that nobody is born with a soul, that you have to earn one through suffering and thought and prayer, like you did last night.
Uh-huh.